Turn your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Hello?
Hello.
You on the line, Ben?
Hello, I'm here.
Hello, how are you doing this afternoon?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Is this your first time doing Spaced Out at BFM?
Officially, yeah. I'm usually here in the office with Josh when he's doing it and sort of shouting things at him across the room to include, but this is my first time doing the talky bit, yeah.
So how are you feeling about that? Are you a bit nervous or are you keen to get into it?
Nah,
all good.
Season pro here.
I think this is the first time we've done it with two hosts as well, so surprise.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, all right. Now you throw me. Used to it.
Important question to start us off, Ben. Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Star Wars? What's your favourite Star Wars movie?
Empire Strikes Back.
I think that's probably the general consensus, right?
Yeah,
it's a bit of a vanilla answer, but I did have one really freakish friend who thinks that Attack of the Clones is the best one, quote, for the love story.
Oh, that's the worst part.
Yeah, I know, exactly, yeah. but hey, how relevant is Star Wars right now with trade routes and blockades and everything? Like, all of a sudden it's back in vogue, which is, you know... interesting.
Yeah.
Better look out for some battle droids.
Yeah.
Hopefully not. All right, so we're talking about, is it Artemis 3?
Artemis 2.
Lying. I'm in the future.
Yeah.
Artemis 2.
Yeah,
what's going on
Artemis
there?
2.
For those who have absolutely no idea, have not been looking at the news whatsoever, what's been going on with Artemis 2?
Cool. So if you've been living under a rock, Artemis 2 is the first time that humans have been to the moon. Didn't land on the moon, but to the moon and around it in 53 years. So quite a long time since Apollo 17 in 1972. So the astronauts, it was like a 10-day mission. They got back on Saturday. They got back safely. They splashed down in the Pacific Ocean. And it's kind of the start of the next step of humans really going back to the moon. So there is sort of a moon landing in our near future, but this is the first time that we've actually sort of started going back and like getting everything ready to build up to that point. So it sort of mirrors the Apollo program a little bit, which is, this is basically what they did in the Apollo era. They also went to the moon and went around it once or twice before they actually attempted a landing, just to make sure that all the systems on board were working, make sure all the capture was working as it should. So really you can start to think of it as like a dress rehearsal for actually going back and landing on the moon sort of in the next couple of years.
Awesome. Why has it taken us so long to circle around the moon once again? Did you say it was like 50 years or something like that?
Yeah, 53 years. I don't know. I mean, spaceflight's always very political and, you know, there's a lot of money involved. That's not to be sniffed at. It costs a lot to do these things. And you've got to have an appetite for it in sort of, you know, especially with the Americans, you've got to have an appetite for it in the US Congress and to actually fund NASA to go and do this stuff. But that's been helped along a lot in recent years by like the private kind of space sector as well. So there are a lot of private players kind of involved here as well. And in fact, when we do actually get to the landing phase, the lander that's going to be used will be built by SpaceX. So it's kind of a combination of like NASA being the state-funded space exploration company and the private sector, you know, with Elon Musk's SpaceX coming into play as well. So that's one reason. Secondly, lots of people sort of questioned, like, you know, why are we going back when we've kind of been there, done that, which is a valid question. This is really about sort of like this time the plan is to go back to the moon for good. And by that, I mean sort of like establish a more permanent presence on the moon. And hopefully that can be like a springboard to like doing other things. Like, you know, if we're going to go to Mars, we're probably going to need to stop at the moon on the way and do things like that.
Interesting.
It's been, I've been following it since it all launched off a couple of weeks ago. And what I've been amazed at is compared to previous missions sort of in the last decade, there's just been so much excitement around space and spaceflight and sending humans into space as well.
Yeah, definitely. And it's been really cool because we've noticed a lot of that here, obviously. It's a lot of what we do at Tefatu Stardome. And Josh especially, like I know I'm kind of stealing his thunder today because I know he would have liked to have been on there talking to you about it. He's so excited about it. But it's been awesome to share that with people and share that with our visitors. So we've actually had, we've got a new classroom space that's sort of recently been refurbished. And we've got a really cool seating area and a big, like, flat screen area. And we've been showing the mission while it was happening. We had it up on the big screen for, like, the whole 10 days.
Mm.
And it was really nice to just see people kind of go in there and just take a load off and just watch it. And actually, like, you know, we're usually so busy rushing around doing everything. it's actually really amazing to just stop and look up and kind of go, wow, there's like four people out there right now. And this is also, this mission was sort of notable because although we have been to the moon before, this mission is, this is the furthest that humans have ever been away from space. So they traveled over 1 million kilometers away in total, the total flight distance. But at the furthest point, they were 400,000 kilometers away from the Earth, which is a new record. And it's just absolutely mind-blowing when you think about it. Just to, you know, do that in 10 days and back is pretty wild.
Do you know if they, if NASA and Elon Musk's thingamabob, it's been a long day, has a like sort of concrete plan of what their next steps are?
So the next step from here, you'll be surprised to know, after Artemis 2, it's Artemis 3.
Whoa! And,
who would have known?
The plan with that one is really like, and again, I say it does sort of mirror the Apollo mission slightly. So Apollo 8 is very famous because they had the Earthrise photo, which is like the first time humans looked back at the Earth and sort of saw it emerging from the blackness of space over the moon. This time around on the Artemis 2 mission, we got the Earthset photo. And I definitely encourage people, if you haven't seen them, just give it a quick Google. Some of the images that come back from this mission are just like breathtaking. They're just astounding. Photos of the moon and photos of the Earth as well. Obviously, it's kind of cool doing it 53 years on from when we last went because, you know, cameras have come a long way since then. And, you know, photography and video technology is so much better. So we're seeing things in higher and higher depth every time they do this. So yeah, Apollo 8 flew around the moon, just like we did with Artemis 2. The next one will be Artemis 3 going up and basically going around the moon again. But this time they'll do more things like they'll separate and then redock different parts of the spaceship. They'll do a EVA, extravehicular activity, where they'll go out of the space capsule and test their new suits because they've got these special Axiom spacesuits, which are still being developed. And it, again, we're sort of edging closer to the next landing, but you've got to test all these little things first. You can't just steam in and do it. You've got to like test all the systems, make sure everything's working. This one went pretty smoothly. The only thing that didn't work on this mission was the toilet.
Right.
But they seem to get that sussed in the first kind of day, which is probably good for everybody.
Definitely,
on board.
Yeah, ideal. You wouldn't want that being a bit longer than a day.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're lucky they've got a toilet. I think it's never been as glamorous as it as before now. So this time it actually looks like a toilet. Like you'd look at it and go, oh yeah, that's a toilet. The Apollo missions was just like lots of tubes and bags, and it wasn't very flattering, that's for sure.
Yeah, that does not sound too flattering. Now, on the 12th of April, it was International Day of Human Spaceflight. What is the context for this? What is the International Day of Human Spaceflight?
Good question. So we're kind of going back the other way now. So International Day of Human Spaceflight is on the on 12th of April because it commemorates the date of the first man in space. So the first human spaceflight was Yuri Gagarin, the Russian cosmonaut, on the 12th of April 1961. And years later, just sort of by chance, I think, it also became the date of the first ever space shuttle launch in 1981. So 12th of April in both instances, first human in space and the first space shuttle launch kind of became a good date to say, let's use that date to like commemorate, look how far we've come in space and what humans can achieve. So we were going to celebrate that here, but we were actually closed because of the cyclone coming in. But on the 12th of April, we always show movies in the planetarium about human space flight, and a big section of it is looking at Yuri Gagarin and what it was like to go on this, become the first human in space.
Yeah. What's your favorite space flight movie?
I'm a massive sucker for Apollo 13.
Yeah.
I think it's just like insane, like such an insane story, such a well-filmed movie. Remember watching it when I was a kid and not being able to figure out where the wires were when they were all floating around. And it took me like a little bit of time to realize that they painstakingly shot that in the Vomit Comet, you know, the plane that goes up and down, and just like doing that over and over and over. Yeah, great movie.
Yeah,
awesome. I have, I think, one more question. Could you paint a picture as to what the Russian space program looked like in 1961? How dangerous was this for Yuri to head into space?
Pretty wild. And I mean, I think the Russians actually, now we kind of, in retrospect, maybe don't give them enough credit because we know the space race kind of ended with Apollo 11 landing on the moon. And there were other Apollo missions after that. But everyone kind of looked at it like the Americans won the space race when they landed on the moon and came back safely. the Russian program just went at breakneck speed, and they were just doing stuff so fast, and all the big first milestones, so first satellite in space was Sputnik, that was the Russians. First man in space, Yuri Gagarin, that was the Russians. First spacewalk, I believe, was the Russians, although I can't remember the cosmonaut's name. So they kind of really got off to the races quite quickly, and NASA were playing catch-up for a long time. Yuri Gagarin actually tragically died in another test flight kind of a few years after that. So he came back and was a, you know, hero of the Soviet Union for being the first man in space, but then he died just like testing fighter planes for them sort of a few years after that. So it was still pretty dangerous. There's quite a funny story as well when you realize like how incongruous it was with like the timing of all of this. Like we were putting people in space, but it was the 50s and the 60s, and you know, Russia was pretty backwards in a lot of ways still at the time. And there's a story about when Yuri Gagarin came back to Earth, he landed in a potato field, and I think like an old Russian lady and her granddaughter were out picking potatoes, and they saw this, like, what they thought was an alien who'd, like, crash-landed back to Earth. Just saw this guy in, like, an orange suit wandering around, and he didn't know where he was, and he was a bit dazed after, like, the flight back. And, yeah, pretty wild stuff.
That is very wild stuff. Now, we have some very interesting things happening at Te Whatu Stardome coming up. Unfortunate about the movie night for International Day of Human Spaceflight being cancelled because of the cyclone, but what else can listeners look forward to?
We got heaps coming up. So if you're interested in the Artemis stuff and you want to know a little bit more about what is happening next, we've got a new planetarium show called Moonbase, The Next Step. And that really takes like a future sort of focused look at why we're going back to the moon and what's going to happen next. It's really cool. So it's sort of like an animated film in the planetarium in 360. And it's looking at what will we be doing on the moon a year from now, 10 years from now, 50 years from now, 100 years from now. It gets a bit sort of fanciful by the end, but it's kind of like a forward look of like, you know, how the moon could be used as like a base of operations for us going further and further into the solar system. At the complete other end, we've got some music shows coming up. We've got our Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon show, which is on usually once or twice a week. That's really popular, so it's like a visualizer of the Pink Floyd album set to music inside the dome. And we've also got a new music show called The Psychedelic Mixtape, which is on Wednesdays and Saturdays at the moment. And same sort of thing, like some pretty trippy visuals. And it's set to music by David Bowie, Radiohead, Flaming Lips, lots of different artists that people would know.
Awesome. I think that's all the time we have for Spaced Out for today, but thank you so much, Ben at Bradford, for coming onto the phone, onto the mic, instead of Josh Odaki. We hope he gets better. I can't speak English.
Yeah. He'll be back when he's recovered, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, and thank you, Te Whatu Stardome.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.